Sermon title today is One More for Jesus. Have you ever been in your life, have you ever been lost? If you ever have, you know what it feels like to lose that sense of direction. At that point in time, you have become disoriented. Jet pilots have to the point that they thought they were going up and drove their plane straight into the ground thinking that they were going up the whole time. Today we live in a world that is lost and dying. The lostness of our society continues to grow. America has lost its way. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're just going to read that scripture there and then we're going to move on. But I want to read this scripture to you. It's found in Isaiah 53 and verse 6. And it very much explains the lostness of the world and the United States. And individuals. So in Isaiah 53 and verse 6, it says, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So that's Isaiah 53, verse 6. "All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." And whether it's a person or a nation, when one becomes lost and disorientated, they turn to their own way. And that's what our nation is doing. It's turning to its own way, thinking that they know best. There's no guide, there's no direction, there's no leadership in the world in which we live in today, because if you don't have God in leadership of your life, you are lost. You are disoriented. And all of a sudden you think, well, I know the right way, I'll go this way or I'll go that way. And the world just continues to get more lost and more lost and more lost. It frustrates me so much that in the United States that we live in today, how many people are turning towards socialism? I cannot believe it. This Bible teaches a free market society that people belong, they own, they buy, they sell, they trade, and they build themselves up. But the world in which we live in today, in the United States, oh, we got all this free stuff. We're going to have free college. We're going to have free health care. We're going to send you free money. There is nothing free. You got that? There is nothing free. There's always a cost to it. Ask the people of Ukraine if they want to move towards socialism or communism, and they're fighting every day to keep them out of their country. And no one in the world today that's either involved in socialism or communism and their sisters, none of those people are better off because of the country they live in because of communism or socialism. It amazes me what we have been teaching in our schools and what we have been teaching in society, that socialism is a better thing than the society, free market democratic society we live in today. But there are millions that are convinced that that is the right way to go. It's never a way that leads back to God when we become lost and we choose our own way. It leads us further away from our relationship of our Heavenly Father. I heard a minister say this week, America is in post-Christianity. And if that doesn't make you feel just a little bit sad, to feel that Christianity is not on the incline in America, but we have reached our pinnacle, and now we're in post-Christianity. I went to a church this last week that is closing, because I thought maybe they might have some tables and chairs, and the only thing I felt when I was in there was a sadness. A sadness that the Word of God is no longer going to be spoken out of that church, no longer going to be promoted through that church. And the person that was showing it to me said that the guy that came to them and said that they were going to give this church building to the city said there's either they're closing or they're almost at the verge of closing 700 churches in the state of Iowa. Wow. 700! And you can look around any city that you go to and you see churches that are closing. But we believe in the Word of God and we stand on the Word of God and we believe in the Spirit of God. And our church is not going to close. Our church is going to grow. Amen. There's people out there that are lost. They want to find something that will be a rudder for their life, an anchor for their life. And Jesus is the anchor that everyone needs. The voice of the Christian is getting smaller and smaller in America, and many churches have lost their way, but let's be one that doesn't and turn up the volume on the Christian voice. You remember in chapter, I'll refer to it, but we won't go to it, but it's in Luke chapter 2, verse 49, that Jesus, his family was taking him to the Sabbath and at Jerusalem, and they went to go home, and all of a sudden they look around, Jesus wasn't with them anymore, and they had to send somebody back to find out where Jesus was, and it was like, well, why did you do this to us? We were worried about you. And Jesus says to him, I needed to be about my Father's business. Crossroads Gospel Church, we must never lose sight of our goal to be about our Father's business, God's business. The reason that Jesus came and died was to save the lost. Our goal is to save the lost. Our goal is to be a megaphone in the communities and the surrounding communities. And I'm not even thinking about the surrounding communities anymore. I'm thinking about our county. Our county needs Jesus. Our state needs Jesus. And there is nothing that Jesus cannot do.
Amen.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. The story is about Zacchaeus. Many of you grew up in Sunday school hearing about Zacchaeus. Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. Verse 3 of Luke 19, if you're just getting there. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he saw him, and he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house. So he made haste and he came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, he has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, look, Lord, I have given half my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore them fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was wandering through life and he was in a lost condition. He didn't realize he was lost. The people that we are surrounded by on a daily basis don't realize that they're lost. But obviously, he recognized in his life that something was missing. You say, well, how do you think, why do you think that something was missing? Well, look at verse 3. And he sought to see who Jesus was. There was something that drew him to this person. There was something that drew him to this name, the name of Jesus. And he says he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And he was so committed to seeing this person, Jesus, that he actually took the time to climb up a sycamore tree so he could see him. What was missing in Zacchaeus' life? Was it fulfillment? Was it peace? Was it joy? Was it contentment? What answer was Zacchaeus looking for? And I would say in his life was a spiritual void. And there was a void in his life, a lacking in his life that he knew it was lacking, but he didn't understand necessarily the reason why. That nothing in this life could fill up. And there is nothing in this life that can fill up a spiritual void in your life if you do not know Jesus. The Lord says, let us create man in our image. Who was there at the time of creation? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're not only a physical being, but you're a spiritual being. And until you fill that spiritual side up of your life, there will always be something lacking. And there will never be anything that will ever fulfill that. He was rich. Look at verse 2. It says, and now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus who was chief tax collector, and he was rich. Well, that should have been all the satisfaction he should ever want in life. But it wasn't doing it. He was comfortable because of being rich. He could buy and sell, do whatever that he wanted, but that wasn't doing it. Because nothing will do it. Nothing. Until you accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, there will always be a longing in your life that nothing in this world will ever fill up. I think that Satan was the one that put rungs on ladders. Man always thinks if I get up that next rung, that next level, then he will be satisfied. He will be content. People waste their whole lives trying to find what you have already found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they think it's going to be found out there in the world. And it is not found out in the world. It's found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
I knew a man once that was my boss. And he grew up and he went to school and he became an engineer. And you think, boy, that would be satisfying, wouldn't it? Satisfying as an engineer, you know you would have financial security. But he wasn't happy being an engineer. He became a supervisor. And once he became a supervisor, after that, he became a department head. And after that, he became a department manager. And he was in my office one day, and we were sitting there talking, and there was something that was lacking in his life. He could taste being a plant manager. He could taste being a plant manager. And he knew that if he became a plant manager, then he would have fulfillment and he would be able to accomplish everything that he wanted to accomplish in life. And you know what I told my manager that I worked for at the time? I told him that he would never have fulfillment in life until he accepted Jesus. Money's not going to do it. Things aren't going to do it. Land's not going to do it. Property's not going to do it. Nothing ever does it. The most satisfied people I have ever seen in my life were the people that probably had very little in society, very little as far as wealth in this world, but they had Jesus and they were clinging on to him with everything that was in their life. They knew Jesus. And whoever that they was around, they shared Jesus and they loved the Lord Jesus. And when you were around them, it was exciting and also it was... You are drawn to those people because of their love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Most people spend or waste their whole lives looking for what they cannot find in this world. People are like gerbils on an exercise wheel. They just go round and round and round and round. This over here is going to bring me happiness. This over here will bring me fulfillment. This over here, if I just attain this one more last thing, it's going to bring me peace. A spiritual void in your life that cannot be filled up with stuff. It is only filled up with a person. And his name is Jesus. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, it says, but even, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3, but even if our gospel, what is the gospel, young people? It's the good news. And it's good news today as well as it was 2,000 years ago. Is veiled, if it is veiled or hidden, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Whose mind the God, you see that with a little g, of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ, the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. Now look at verse 4 again. Whose mind the God of this age, Satan, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Want to hear my paraphrase? Pastor Leo paraphrased, people whose minds are blinded by the next rung on the ladder, by the God of this world. Because they're lost and they don't even realize it. They're disoriented and they don't even realize it. They don't know where to turn, which way to go. So what do? They choose a way of their own making. They choose a way of their own choosing. What is the next rung on the ladder for you? What does it look like? What is that thing that once you get it, you know that you will be complete, you will be happy, and you will be content? You remember the young man or the older man in the book of Luke? He says, I have got so much stuff, I'm going to tear down my barns, and I'm going to build bigger barns, and I'm going to put more stuff on them, and then I'm going to say to my soul, be happy and content. And what did the Lord say to him? Yet this day, a requirement of your soul, what's a barn going to do for you? What's $1 million going to do for you? Nothing. Without Christ, this world is only a mirage. Only a mirage that Satan wants to put in front of us. Oh, if I was a pro football player.
Oh, if I was a pro baseball player. Oh, if I had this. Oh, if I had that. If I could just win the lottery. I could just pay off my bills. If I could just live so comfortably. I know that I would be happy. And without Jesus, you will never be happy. Without Jesus in your life, there will always be a lacking in your life that you can't fill up with enough stuff. You can't fill up with enough things that you can buy. Some of the most unhappiest people in the world are those that are rich because they don't know Jesus. Let me tell you, the people in the White House are unhappy people because they do not know Jesus. Because if they knew Jesus, they would live their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ, not for the God of this world. Turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. Gospel of John in chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah. John 4:11 says this. We'll read verses 11 through 14. The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" And Jesus answered to him, "Whoever drinks of this water is going to thirst again. But whoever soever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." Because only Jesus can quench our thirst. Only Jesus can quench our thirst in this world in which we live in today. Turn with me to John chapter 6, verse 35. John chapter 6, verse 35. And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will by no means cast him out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I shall lose nothing, but should raise him up at the last day. This is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." The true source of fulfillment in life is Jesus. Nothing else can satisfy.
Amen.
The true source of nourishment in this life is found in the Spirit. It is not found in the things of the flesh. One last scripture. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 9. Go back to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 9, verse 35. Matthew verse 35 of chapter 9. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Are you moved with compassion for the lost world that we're surrounded by? Saints, we need to be moved with compassion. We need to be praying for those that are on the outside of church. Find a way into the ark of the Lord Jesus for salvation. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and they were scattered like sheep having no shepherd. He wasn't moved with compassion because they were homeless. Wasn't moved with compassion because they were destitute. He wasn't moved with compassion because they were drug addicts. He wasn't moved with compassion because they were gay. He was moved with compassion because he knew and he saw that they had no shepherd. And when we're talking about a shepherd, I'm talking about a shepherd for your soul. A spiritual shepherd to lead, to guide. May we always be a church that never has a critical spirit. Say, "Oh, I know this person for so many years, all they've done is drugs. All they've done is been a drunk. All they've been is this way. All they've been is that way." What does the Apostle Paul say? You were some of that people. But you came to know the truth. The world needs a truth as it's never needed it before. He says, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion then because they were weary and scattered, having sheep, no shepherd. If you wander long enough, you're going to be weary. If you're lost long enough, you will be weary. Then he said to the disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his field." Jesus looked upon the people as being lost, disoriented, wandering through life with no direction and with no leadership. Jesus came to save the lost because that is what they truly needed, was a shepherd for their souls. And he says to us, I need you to bring them to me. I was thinking of that today. You know, you like to go fishing. Some of us like to go fishing, but I'm not necessarily big in the cleaning part of it. But when you're a fisherman for the Lord Jesus, you don't have to clean them. You just help catch them. He'll clean them up.
Amen.
Amen. That's the business we're in. We're in the catching business. Jesus is in the cleaning business. I don't have to worry about their past. All I have to look upon them and say, you know what? You have a future in the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care what your past is. The Lord's going to take that all away. You're going to be made a brand new. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, are we not? A new creation. Not an old creation that's redone. It's a new creation that he has born and birthed in our lives. We need gleaners today. You know what a gleaner is? Well, the farmers don't see it very often anymore, because let me tell you, when a farmer goes through a cornfield today, his combine, he's not thinking he's going to leave one ear behind. If he leaves one ear behind, it's one ear too many. And you'd have a hard time gleaning in a field today. But in the old days, when they used to pick fields by hand, or they'd pick fields with the old corn pickers, when they turned the corner, the wagon was over here and the chute was over here and it was shooting that corn out, you'd have a gleaner go out and he'd be picking ears up out of the corners of the where the combine or the picker turned the corner. The Lord needs gleaners today. Maybe there's been a harvest. Maybe we are in post-Christianity, but there are people out there that need to know Jesus. There are people out there we want to see go to heaven. We don't want to lose one, not one. Gleaners go out and invite people to the house of the Lord. John 6, verse 44 says this, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up the last day. You can't come to the Father unless you're drawn by what? The power of the Holy Spirit. Maybe in life you have been lost. But today, you're being drawn home to the Lord. Are you today the one more for Jesus? One more. One more for the kingdom of God. You've all heard that story when the father and his little girl was walking down the beach and all these starfish washed up on the bank. She starts picking them up and she throws them back in the ocean. He says, honey, you can't. You're wasting your time. You're wasting your time. Look at all these starfish. And she kept going. She says, well, it matters to the one and it matters to that one. Mm-hmm. Everyone. Maybe we can't reach the world. How many people can we reach before the Lord Jesus comes? One more? And are you that one more today? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of the Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your word. And we thank you for your anointed word. We thank you for your spirit, Father, that draws everybody to you. Father, we rejoice in your time in your house today. Bless both all that came out today. Bless their gifts. Bless their tithe and their offering. Show them, Father, that they cannot outgive you, because you are a wonderful and merciful God. Be with us as we go our separate ways. For those, anyone left that needs a healing in their body, may they be healed in the name of Jesus. And their word says, is I am healed. I accept that in Jesus' name.
Yes,
Father,
Lord Jesus.
Be with us and bless us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.